o'clock, Jim and the Buckeye Boy, Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network here in the Valley, 101.1 FM, 1340 AM along Highway 50 and North Fork, 102.1 FM and online all the time at theteam1340.com. Right, we dove into this last hour very unintentionally. Favorite change sports narrative. For example, giving you an example this hour, Bryce Harper. When he played here in Grand Junction.
Yeah.
He had the incident with Don Gilmore, the home plate umpire, drew the line of the dirt on a called strike three, got tossed, was considered a petulant brat by a lot of people here.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying when you say incident, but that makes it sound even more than what it was. Things happen like this during
incident
baseball.
Moment. Yeah, it was a moment. Well,
now, I know what you're saying, though, but yeah, it was a moment. It was an incident, but it's not like there was no contact.
No,
he didn't punch him.
No, he just drew the line in the dirt. He kind of turned to look back at him, and then he got tossed. And
I think the part that's buried the deepest in that story is he was right.
Go back and look at it. He was right. But it was an incident. I mean, because wasn't physical contact. And I think I don't even remember what Harper did make a comment to Gilmore, but it was nothing offensive. It was like, this is where it was, or right. It's like you missed it.
You missed this there.
You missed a blue.
Skippy.
And got tossed.
Yeah.
And that led into
Slappy or something.
That led into the prevailing narrative is, well, Bryce Harper's a jerk, and it's kind of continued on. And now that he's into his 30s, there's still people that probably feel that way about him. Even though he did a lot of good things when he was here with
no
the Challenger kids.
To rehabilitate the image.
Yeah.
He will forever be tagged with the scarlet letter of arguing balls and strikes.
Yeah,
he's going to hell.
To me, he deserved criticism for doing that. He shouldn't have done that.
It was childish, but he's also 17.
But also, he stomped on the guy's ankle, the San Jack first baseman. That was not cool.
That's the one more so than anything else.
Or clearly just...
Yeah.
He was frustrated. He was ticked.
That was a you-know-what move.
Yeah. But people do awful things when they're and stupid things and when they're 17 years old.
It was dumb. It was dirty. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Not saying any of that is untrue.
And I'm sure if you ask Bryce Harper now, you'd probably go, yeah, those were a couple of really bad things. Those were not classy things to do.
Give him a little bit of the old truth serum.
And I'm sure the incident first base would be the one that probably he regrets more than the other.
Oh, yeah.
Because that, fortunately, the player, the first base, can't remember who it was for San Jack. He kept playing. He stayed in the game. But Harper being a player probably now would say, yeah, that was a pretty,
pretty
D-bag move on my part.
Yeah.
I was frustrated. I shouldn't have let that, though, translate into me doing something like that. But Harper, really, throughout the majority of his pro career, it's a lot of pretty clean life.
I mean, for the most part.
Doesn't run into trouble he's never been in trouble with the law, the least we're ever been aware of.
Yeah, which with athletes nowadays is pretty rare.
I mean, not that that's the bar. That should just be an expectation for everybody.
He's not done anything above and beyond what baseball players do. You know what I mean? Especially the current generation.
True.
He's
very true.
Flashy. He's showboaty. He backs it up to the tune of Rookie of the Year and two MVPs.
Yeah, and a big fat contract from Philadelphia.
Big fat contract from Philadelphia. You know, the comeback from injury was pretty baller.
Now moved to a new position.
Which is playing pretty decently there, too. Yeah. Turns out the guy's good at baseball.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
You know, it's like I can understand why people don't like him. But outside of the fact of he plays for a team that's not your favorite team, there's not really anything inherently unlikable. Like, if he was a Rocky, people would love it.
Oh, they would. There'd be no doubt.
The grit and the fire and it's some passion. And, you know, he's going to light a fire under somebody's butt. They're going to fight a teammate if he has to. They'd love that sort of thing.
And unfortunately, the Rockies will never have Bryce Harper. Maybe when he's like 41. He's still playing. They might get Bryce Harper for 1 year.
Big contract, playing out of position at first base. That's right up their alley.
That's the kind of guy they're looking for.
You know, that's...
But he's still too close to the age of 30.
Oh, he's wait, yeah.
We got to wait till he's like 36.
He's still got way too much talent.
37.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
He's got to have like a ton of injuries. Or he's got to have like a ton of injuries that shut him down the last 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to be...
Or better, a combination of both.
Right.
And injury-plagued and super old.
And injuries going forward, too. Not just past injuries.
Got to be injuries. Because as Charles Barkley reminds us, sports are for young people.
Sports are for young people, not for old people.
But the Rockies tend to forget that sometimes.
The sports ain't for old people. They're for young people.
So true, Chuck. So true. The other one we talked about was Tim Tebow. Because there's still those that I run into on occasion to listen to this program out there in the pile. Should have never got rid of Tim Tebow. Should have never got rid of him.
Look at the wrath they have drawn.
Or the narrative was, should have kept him, and he could have learned from Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Could have learned from him. Not that Tim wouldn't have been willing to learn from Peyton Manning. Because he's that kind of guy. I think he's a guy that would have... He wouldn't have been happy about not being the starting quarterback anymore because he's a competitive guy. And you don't blame him for that. That doesn't make him a bad guy. But he also, I think, would have been smart enough to realize, guy's a future Hall of Famer. Already won a Super Bowl. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I might be able to learn a thing or two from this guy.
I might, just on accident, learn something.
But that didn't happen. The Broncos dealt him to the Jets, and it probably ended up being the right move. Because, let's be honest, if he would have stayed, if, say, Denver decides, you know what, we invest a first-round pick in this guy, and maybe they would find a package, a slash Cordell Stewart kind of package for him, and they would have kept him in Denver. I don't think Tim Tebow would have, I don't think he would have ever replaced Manning as a starting quarterback.
Nope.
I don't think he would have been there in another year or two before they would have finally decided, he just doesn't have the talent to play at the NFL level as a quarterback.
Because he didn't really.
And always the narrative that people had. And I think I might have grabbed onto this early on for a little bit and then watched some things where Tebow's running routes and stuff like that. He could be a tight end.
A tight end.
No, he couldn't have been.
No.
No, he couldn't have been. Wasn't going to be a running back. Was a phenomenal college football player.
Yes. And sometimes that's it.
And Heisman Trophy winner, national champion. But that was going to be it, though. There are guys that's just their ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, I watched a little bit of the Penn State spring game the other day. It was on. Just flipped it on for a minute because it was just on. I'm like, okay, I'm sports grazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't like I sat there and really dialed in to James Franklin.
Notebook out, huh?
No, I did not. And they had Christian Hackenberg there.
He's not working anywhere else.
No, he's not playing in any kind of professional football north of the border or here.
South of the border.
Yeah, anywhere.
Across the ocean.
And I thought about that because Hackenberg was a really good collegiate quarterback. He wasn't Tim Tebow good. He wasn't a Heisman winner or anything like that, but he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Jets?
Yeah.
Took a flyer on him.
They gave it a go.
And he was absolutely atrocious. His ceiling was as a college football player. His best days, best moments were going to be at Penn State, and that was going to be it. And kind of like with Tim Tebow, where were there some moments as a Bronco? Sure. Playoff game against the Steelers that allowed him to have the highest franchise playoff passer rating. The game against the Jets. It was like a Thursday night game where he has the scramble at the end of the game and has a rushing touchdown. And there were always moments in his career. The Chicago
Flashes. The Bears game.
The Bears game.
The Marion Barber game, right?
Yeah.
He was the one who stayed in bounds.
What are you doing?
Like, oh.
What are you doing?
You're a hero in Denver now.
But there's always been that narrative, the number one, for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Should have stayed with Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Look what happened to them since they got rid of Tim Tebow.
Or should have kept Tim Tebow. Yeah, all they did was get a hell of a lot better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because Peyton Manning was there.
They went from a guy who maxed out in college to maybe the most accomplished quarterback in the league when it comes to individual slash team success.
Now, I don't think there's as many of those people anymore. But there's some that are still, they still cling to that, oh, they just would have given him a chance. Mm-hmm. They just would have given him a chance.
There's some of those people that either wasted money and bought a new jersey after they burned their Bronco stuff because they cut Tim Tebow, or they didn't actually burn their Bronco stuff.
No.
After they got rid of Tim Tebow. Sorry, didn't cut him. But.
Always love the, I'm going to get rid of all my stuff. I'm going to burn
it. Get rid of all my Bronco stuff.
And then a year later, hey, Peyton Manning's here. Yeah. That's look how great Manning was.
Well, that jersey looks real old for being brand new since you burnt the last one.
And the last one we talked about was Dan O'Dowd.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dan O'Dowd, the worst GM in Rockies history, blah, blah, blah. He was the guy that...
Jeff Breidich, hold my beer.
Jeff Breidich, hold my beer. Bill Schmidt, working on it. Mm-hmm. He's working on that role, or that title. Dan O'Dowd put together the roster. They got them to a World Series, won an NLCS.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about that. The only time they've gone to a World Series. So
it's the only time they've won a playoff series.
Yes. So how is Dan O'Dowd the worst GM in Rockies history?
How can he be both the worst and the best?
One has to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that he's probably the best. So was Jerry McMorris before that?
Yeah. McGregor, not GM, I don't think.
Kelly McGregor was the president. Yeah. He was team president.
Yeah, same thing.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, gosh. No, it was Bob.
Gebhardt.
Bob Gebhardt, not McMorris.
McMorris was the original owner.
Was the original owner. Yeah, Bob Gebhardt was the Twins. Who's with Bob Gebhardt was the Twins. And helped to build the Twins team,
Twins,
the Kirby
World
and
Series team.
And that went to the World Series and won it against the Braves. And Bob Gebhardt was really good because, I mean, they got the playoffs. What, 2 years after they came into the league?
Yeah, 95.
Lost the Braves in the first round. But still, it got them to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's impressive. So, but once again, Bob Gebhardt didn't get them to a World Series, though.
He got them to the playoffs once.
I'm going to take the guy that built the roster that got them to a World Series and a National League championship over the guy that got him the playoffs for the first time.
But there's a lot of either the last time you remember them is going to be the only thing you remember about them, or you lose the opposing argument over the course of history, and it's just the way you remember it.
Exactly. All right, so some of those... how do you describe it again? You described it as the...
Your favorite changed narrative.
Favorite changed narrative from the world of sports. Send it to us today on the team line. Pyle, you're a little sleepy today.
A little bit.
A little bit. We're going to give you some chance to win some stuff coming up here pretty soon, too. Maybe that'll get the juices flowing this morning.
Pique your interest.
All right, 8:13, and it's time for...
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, so the Broncos adding to their defensive line depth. The Broncos have signed veteran defensive tackle Angelo Blackson to a one-year deal. He's 31 years old, playing 128 games for five different teams. Last season, playing 11 games for Jacksonville. Four seasons prior to that, he played part-time, full-time in Houston, Arizona, and Chicago. 6'4", 305, 8.5 career sacks, 17 tackles for loss, 27 quarterback hits. And last summer was with Baltimore, but didn't make the 53-man roster. Then he got picked up by Jacksonville, played 215 snaps over 11 games. He was a fourth-round pick originally for Tennessee back in 2015. So he joins Zach Allen, DJ Jones up front, Matt Henningsen. They recently, of course, signed Malcolm Roach from the Saints. They also signed Rashard Lawrence to a futures contract in January. They're hoping to get Wazirike back. Remember the gambling suspension? for the former Iowa State Cyclone.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So he'll be eligible to apply in late July after that.
Hey, that rhymed.
So very unintentional.
What was the over-under on his suspension? Sorry. That was rude.
Ouch. I don't know, ask Michael Porter Jr.'s
Jonte
brother.
Jonte Porter.
Ask Jonte Porter with
that. Take the over on his, by the way, too. We haven't mentioned that.
Yeah, we'll
take the over on his
suspension.
You want
to do that for four down territory?
I'll use it, yeah.
Okay, you can take that one for four down territory.
Brother.
All right, so The Athletic, they have a piece about ranking the rosters right now, the projection model ranking all 32 rosters ahead of the draft. Let's start out with who do you think they have as the best roster prior to next Thursday's draft?
The best roster.
The best roster.
Kansas City seems like low-hanging fruit, but they are the Super Bowl champions. I'm going to go Kansas City.
They're number two.
Okay. Oh, okay. Let's see here. Philly.
No.
Oh.
Saw this team in the postseason.
Philly did?
No. Chiefs did.
Chiefs did. Okay. AFC team?
Sorry, yeah. Chiefs did.
San Francisco.
Number one.
Not an AFC team, but they played the Super Bowl.
Yeah, with the exception of Brandon Ayuk, what's going to happen with him? The feeling is from the Athletics, they've got one of the more talented defenses in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They are still the team to beat in the NFC. Chiefs are number two. Okay. Starts with Mahomes. And even though they lost
Brilliant analysis
Sneed
on that their part.
In the trade,
yeah,
that sent him to Tennessee, the person put this together, which was Austin Mook. So the Chiefs still have the second best roster going to the draft, followed by Baltimore, Buffalo, Philadelphia, Detroit, Dallas, Miami, the Jets, and Cincinnati.
The Jets. How do you have a top 10 NFL roster but just suck?
Yeah.
So bad all the time.
Now, getting Tyron Smith is huge if they're going to try to keep Aaron Rodgers standing up.
That's true.
Hopefully have him play more than four snaps.
You can't get too much fewer than that.
Yeah.
He's going to try.
I like the Bengals better than 10, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although they lost Joe Mixon, right?
That's true. He's now, traded him to Houston?
I think so. You put Houston's on that list, right?
Houston's 11th.
Man, only 11th.
Yeah. That seems low, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
You get the Falcons 12th. I feel like they're putting a lot of faith in Kirk Cousins there.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Your Browns, by the way, are 14th.
Yeah, that tracks.
So you're going, well, where's the Broncos? Where's the Broncos? Where are they at? Where are they at? They're not dead last. That's the good news today. They're 28th. The only teams below them, according to The Athletic, Arizona, the Giants, and the Panthers.
Giants I see, Arizona probably interchangeable.
Yeah. The notes on this from The Athletic, offensive line cornerback group should be average or slightly above it, but everything else is in rough shape. Similar to the Titans, but there's one difference. The Titans already have a young, highly drafted quarterback, and the Broncos at number 12 would need to mortgage their future to get one of the top quarterback prospects, which is very true.
Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
Also, there's been, I saw a report that there are people that think that that Harbaugh is messing with the Broncos and most notably the Broncos because maybe the Raiders to a degree because of him hyping J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
There's that part of me, conspiracy theory, part of me that, you know, I know they love, everybody said, why would you be insane to get rid of Justin Herbert? You'd be insane to do that. Jim Harbaugh's that kind of guy, though, that would be insane enough to draft McCarthy. But as time goes on, the less I feel like my conspiracy theory about Harbaugh at five drafting McCarthy, I think it's starting to dissipate.
I think the closer we get, the more realism gets injected. But
could he be playing everybody else for sucker that, yeah, he likes McCarthy, but he wouldn't draft McCarthy because he knows he probably needs another year of playing college football. He knows the limitations of it. Nobody knows his limitations better than Jim Harbaugh.
There are three parts of Jim Harbaugh which I think about with this. Like, one, does he really like J.J. McCarthy that much? That's your conspiracy theory. Two, you would like to think he has bigger things on his plate than just screwing with the other teams in the AFC West. But three, I watched enough Jim Harbaugh to know that he can do both.
All those things are possible.
All
with
those
him.
Things can be true.
That he could be actually really like J.J. McCarthy, still likes him, and be willing to get him and move on from Justin Herbert, which I think is extremely unlikely. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say zero chance of that happening.
But there's a chance.
There's the smallest of chances that happens. I think he knows he's got a really good quarterback. He should in Justin Herbert. And he's trying to build around him. Build up that offensive line. Build up the running game. Got to get him some weapons to throw the football to since Williams is gone and Keenan Allen got traded to the Bears.
Eckler's gone.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, Austin Eckler's gone to the Commanders. I could clearly see him, though, screwing with the Broncos and the Raiders. Broncos, most notably. Sean Payton thinks he's smart, huh? Well, thinks he's into gamesmanship, huh? Well, I'm going to sit here and talk about how great my guy was at Michigan, and we'll see if that guy bites. And we'll see if it comes back to bite the Broncos in the butt if they trade up to get him.
Because I can see him playing the long game, I guess is a phrase to use. But maybe the it looks like he's trying to screw. And this may be giving Jim Harbaugh too much credit. Because you mentioned two wide receivers and a running back gone. They're going to need some talent to help whoever their quarterback is. What better way to do that than to leverage either A, your current quarterback, into however many draft picks are possible out of him, or B, pump up a guy that you know to a point to where somebody wants to come up and get him with your draft pick so you can acquire some draft picks and get extra talent.
That could be the case, too.
That's how I feel this is. Like, I don't necessarily know if he's going to take... I don't think he's going to take J.J. McCarthy.
And I don't either now. The more... That was, like I said, a conspiracy theory.
It's a flyer, right? Yeah. But I do think that he might be using J.J. McCarthy as bait for the number 5 pick.
Could be.
I don't know if
don't you guys, you want him, don't you? And he...
Yeah.
And it seems like he's not... He might drop to 5, but I doubt it, the way things are starting to shape up.
I don't think he's trying to screw with the Broncos and the Raiders. I just think this is a happy accident. I think he's trying to very subtly up the worth of that pick so somebody gives him 3 or 4 selections to get up and take J.J. McCarthy.
Could be the case that it's not necessarily a Broncos or Raiders, hey, I'm trying to get these guys to bite on McCarthy, and they'll regret doing that, and they're going to waste resources, draft capital to do that. It could be, he's playing himself in a position where you want McCarthy? We're at 5. We can get you to 5, and maybe J.J. will be there for you. And we can trade back down. Mm-hmm. That's entirely possible. Makes a lot of sense. Also, we talked about the article that ESPN had about Bill Belichick and how allegedly Robert Kraft, Patriots owner, talked with his buddy Arthur Blank, Falcons owner, when Belichick interviewed with the Falcons for their job and said, I wouldn't trust that guy or if I were you, and Patriots have denied that he ever said that. Well, on the same day that they put out that article on ESPN, the four-letter announces that Belichick is going to be on Pat McAfee's show as a regular member of the Pat McAfee show.
See, that may actually get me to tune into McAfee once or twice because those are two wildly different personalities, at least on the outside. McAfee, if you take the image he's cultivated, tries his absolute damnedest to not be serious about anything. Whether probably the most serious he's ever been is about him and his wife's struggles with the trying to have a kid. Other than that, sports is essentially just shenanigans. And he's got his crew and they don't be serious and they have the toxic AJ Hawk and the whole, all the jokes.
Even says on
that.
The crawler, hey, we don't, this is just, yeah. We're just a bunch of knuckleheads.
This is just, you know, wiener jokes and fart jokes. That's pretty much all it is. 3 hours worth. Now you have Bill Belichick, who doesn't even play along at Super Bowl Media Day. When no one is there asking about X and O's, but you try your hardest to be like, whoa. You know, we're just, I don't really think about that. Bill, if you were to be a dog or a cat, I'm a patriot right now. That's really all we're working on. This is going to be interesting, at least the first time, because one, how does McAfee approach it?
Or will Belichick be the one that goes, you know what?
Unbutton the top button.
Let's have fun here. I'm ready to have some fun. First time in my career, I'm ready to just have some fun.
Because I have two images of Bill Belichick in my head. One is Darth Hoodie. It's in the rain, and he's just soaked, and it's cut off, and he looks homeless. And the other one is him wedging the little Navy football helmet on college game day.
And having fun with that and leaning into it.
Yeah.
But also,
which one is this going to go?
But also the McAfee show on the report about Belichick, they took ESPN to task on it, saying this is it's poor reporting. There's no truth to it.
The Kraft report or the fact he's going to be on
the
show?
No, the Kraft report. No, it's been confirmed that he's going to be on the McAfee show, but they went after the Kraft, the report about Kraft telling Arthur Blank that, you know, I wouldn't trust that guy. That McAfee and his guys went after that story.
Belichick in the media may be the most anticipated coach on TV for me in my lifetime.
I think so, too, because I'm curious to see how this is going to work with him.
Even more than Nick Saban.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, because we've heard Nick Saban. We've heard enough rumors about the D's, you know what's jokes that you think Saban under there and pounding the thing and the Coke and knocking it over on the podium. There's enough there with Nick Saban. You think he's going to be interesting. But Bill Belichick not once has let anybody behind the curtain of Oz.
Yeah, but just interesting that the day they have the kind of hit piece on Belichick and Bob Kraft, that's the day they announce he's going to be on McAfee.
Yeah.
Also, Colorado coach Deion Sanders, you know, there's the report that came out that he has certain teams he doesn't want Shadur to go to, or Travis Hunter.
I saw this video on the social.
And so Romy Bean of CBS4 Colorado asked Sanders about it. Starts out there saying, everybody's saying, right, you're only letting Shadur and Travis go to only six teams. Is this true? Can we get some insight? Sanders responded, who said that? And did you see me say that? The thing about a lie is so fast, it can outrun the truth any day. That's a bold-faced lie. That's a stupid lie. I have more than six owners that are friends. I have more. You got it?
I got the sound.
What's going to give me the sound on this?
Everybody's saying, right, you're only letting Shadur and Travis go to six teams. Is this true? Can we get some insight? Okay.
Who said that, and did you see me say that?
Well, that's why I wanted to ask you, because, you know, I don't know who's saying that.
One thing about a lie is so fast. It can outrun the truth any day. That's a bold-faced lie. That's a stupid lie. I have more than six owners that are friends. I have more than six GMs that are friends. You got to understand, I played 14. And I worked another 17, I believe, in the NFL, NFL Network, and soap CBS. I know a lot of people. Come on. So I would never do that. Before I would disclose, if I was that stupid, I wouldn't disclose the teams I would want them to play for. I would disclose the several that I wouldn't. Yeah, that's stupid. That's stupidity. I would never do that.
All right, so let's go back, though, where you previously said, I know where I want them to go. So it's certain cities that ain't going to happen. It's going to be in Eli. And he also said he doesn't want Shadur playing in a cold weather city. What's the truth here on this? What he's said, which is he's said there are certain places they're not going to go.
It depends on the day with Deion. Whichever day he feels the sun rises in the east is the day he's going to say that. And then if you catch him the next day and he feels differently, well, I didn't say that.
Which one's the truth here, Dion?
Dion needs a plaid sport coat and streamers and a wacky waving inflatable arm waving tube man because he's very much used car salesman.
Very much so. What is it going to be? It's either there are places you think they should go and you're going to discourage them from going to certain places. Mm-hmm. Or no, that's not true at all. But you're the one who said it, though. Your own words betray you, sir.
You know, Dion reminds me very much of Aaron Rodgers. Using words to get the point across. Because I can very easily say Dion coming out tomorrow and be like, no, no. She specifically asked me if there were six teams. And I said that's a lie. I didn't say it was a lie that there are no teams where Aaron Rodgers immunized the whole thing, right?
Right.
I could very much see that sort of thing happening.
Yeah, it's all semantics. It's... Well, I didn't say specifically. Mm-hmm.
She asked specifically about the number six, and I said, no, that's a lie.
Exactly.
Could be five, could be seven. She asked about six.
All right, one final thing on around the NFL. For a long time, we've been looking for a quicker way to diagnose a concussion after any, whether it's football, soccer, you name it, hockey, whatever. A blood test designed to aid in the rapid diagnosis of concussions has gained FDA approval. The iStat Alinity test can detect two proteins released in the blood when someone suffers a concussion. Abbott is the one who's designed this and has a 95.6% rate of ruling out concussions if the test is conducted within 24 hours of the injury. That's faster than the existing iStat TBI test, which requires blood serum and the use of a centrifuge to process the results. So this could be something the NFL, now it's gained FDA approval, we could perhaps see the NFL, maybe college football, using this as early as this season. All right, 8:32, and it's time for the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is...
Yes, up for grabs today is the delicious case of Coors, the banquet beer, courtesy of our friends at High Country Beverage. First correct answer on the text line, texts only, 970-242-1340, gets it with... Who is it? We go back to another, hey, remember me of the Colorado Rockies? And I'm on the wrong page. All right, here we go. Remember Brett Saberhagen last week? Another remember me? On this day in 2007, my Rockies teammates and I pounded out 13 hits in a win over the hated Los Angeles Dodgers. I had one of those three extra base hits. But I am arguably more famous for my ex-wife's appearance in a Whitesnake video. Who is it?
All right. 8:33.
You may forget this guy was a Rocky at all.
That's true. I kind of forgot that he was. All right, so first correct answer wins. If you've won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Also, if you're not 21, don't play as well. And if you win today, you're into the Never Ending Contest and win that Honda Street Bike from Motorcycle Accessories. All the details at theteam1340.com. Coming up, our team's Team of the Week, brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. That'll be in just a little bit. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
On Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back, 8:36. Jim of the Buckeye Boy. All right, our team's Team of the Week, brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance, coming up in just a little bit. Do we have a winner for, who is it today?
I'm looking, it's going to very much be a, it's going to be close. Because we have a variety of texts with the correct last name, but none with the correct first name. If that makes any sense. And this is not a nickname for this particular person.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. Like, Ted doesn't remember who the pitcher's name was, but other things.
He is close. The others have the wrong first name, so this is going to be a... maybe we have to go to the judges.
Okay. All right, so once again, If you have won the last 2 weeks, don't send in your answer, all right, to win the case of New Belgium beer from High Country Beverage. It's Who Is It Today? So you can text in your guess, 970-242-1340. And coming up next hour, we're going to bring back our conversation with Connor McGahee that we had yesterday as the Avs take on Edmonton. Other than the points record for in Avalanche history for Nathan MacKinnon tonight, there's nothing at stake for the Avalanche.
Big nothing burger going on here.
They're locked into that series with Winnipeg, and Winnipeg will have home ice advantage, by the way, in that one. So tonight it's more about trying to trying to get MacKinnon the record, the Avalanche record tonight.
All right. So we going back to who is it? Chuck is not the correct first name. Jim has the ex-wife correct, but that's not who we're looking for.
Looking for the pitcher.
So, center fielder, not a pitcher.
I'm sorry, center fielder, excuse me.
I believe I have the right person. I may be wrong. Who knows?
Didn't she beat him up?
We may have the wrong Finley. I may have the wrong Finley.
I think you do.
I have the wrong Finley. So we're going to go back to the text line. Yeah, this one did not play for the Rockies at all. I got them confused.
Okay.
Jared first in the door with Chuck Finley.
Yeah,
all the clues appropriate.
You're thinking of Steve Finley.
I thought it's Steve Finley.
Because I'm going, I don't remember Chuck Finley.
I thought Steve Finley got beat up by his ex-wife, Tawny Kitaen.
Chuck got beat up by
his ex-wife,
with,
Tawny
I think Kitaen. With her shoe. I think she took her heel up.
So that's an EME.
Okay.
And it's a big swing and a miss there.
It's okay. At least you didn't play.
Shuck.
That's true. The fancy speech from
Crash Davis Bull Durham speech. Yeah.
Yep. So turns out we had many right answers, one wrong clue.
It's okay.
And Jared, I believe, within his moratorium or outside of his moratorium.
Okay. So congratulations to Jared today.
This is a mess.
It's okay. Because I'm going, I don't remember him ever pitching for the Rockies. He said center field. I'm like, I don't think that's the same guy.
Yeah, nope, you're right. As soon as you said that, I was like, I think I screwed up.
Oh, it's okay. With Tawny Kitaen, of course, in the David Coverdale Whitesnake video. She was also in, WKRP.
I think so.
They did, they brought it back, and she was in, the second iteration of that. Mm-hmm. And it was really bad. It was really terrible. All right, 840.
Whoops.
It's okay. Sorry. It's all right, champ.
Turns out, Ted, I can't remember his name either.
So. Your batting average is still extremely high, by the way. You have to feel good about that. It's okay. All right, we will take a break. And coming up next, our team's Team of the Week, brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. That's on the way on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's the team's Team of the Week on the Jim Davis Show.
And it's our team's Team of the Week, brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. And our team's Team of the Week, they've won three straight matches. And the Wildcat girls lacrosse team, they'll take on Roaring Fork later on today. And with us right now, Alyssa Husky, coach of the Fruit of Monument girls lacrosse team, Kendall Rehm and Nayeli Flores. Both Kendall and Nayeli are our team captains. Thanks for coming on today, ladies. How are you?
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having us.
Always appreciate talking with you about Fruit of Monument girls lacrosse. And Alyssa, the Wildcats playing great right now. Three straight wins for your team. Currently sitting right now in the standings at 2-1 in the league, in the Mountain League, 4-2 overall. Give us a sense of why your team has played so well during this three-game winning streak.
You know, we've been working really hard. We had a lot of practice early on in the season. Kind of all of our games are stacking up now. So we've been able to work on a lot of things, and it's kind of starting to come together. We're playing really well as a team, both on the offensive side and defensive side of the ball. And quite frankly, we just have a really deep, talented roster this year. So we're able to move people around and really get the best production out of everybody.
And certainly McKenna Jensen's had a great season for you, Alyssa. 19 goals in the season for her. She's played really well for you.
Yeah, McKenna has been doing great this season. We're super happy with her performance and totally crushing it as a sophomore.
What do you feel like she's made her biggest improvement from last season to this season?
I think mostly it's, you know, confidence. She's had a season under her belt, and her teammates really share the ball with her and allow her to be successful.
Melissa Huskey, coach of the Fertile Monument Girls lacrosse team, with us today. And last year was an incredible season for your team, Melissa. 7-1 record. You went 10-6. Really some positive numbers to build off from last year heading into this season.
Yeah, you know, since I took over the program 2 years ago, we've had a lot of success. I credit the girls to that. They put in a lot of hard work during the season and outside of the season, and just really show up and give me their best every time we put it on the field.
Of course, last season you lost to Meade in the postseason 19-1. And, you know, for your team, I'm sure you probably used that as motivation for this season, get back to the postseason, make a deeper run. It was an incredible season for your team last year to get to the postseason. And unfortunately came up, it ended with that loss to Meade last year.
Yeah, that was a tough loss. That was an incredibly talented team that we played against. But, you know, the girls went out there and had fun, and that's really all that I can ask of them. And it is motivation for us to get back to the postseason. You know, we played Steamboat the other day and were able to beat them again at home, which kind of felt sweet since we did that for our playoff win last year.
Yeah, that was a 7-6 victory last year. And if memory serves me correctly, first playoff win in Fertile Monument girls lacrosse history, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so certainly a lot of positive to build on. Melissa Huskey, Fertile Monument girls lacrosse coach, with us today. Also, Kendall Ream and Ali Flores, the two captains. And Kendall, you know, you have that shared responsibility with Ali as far as a captain on this team. Kind of take us through how the season has gone for you so far, Kendall.
So far, the season has been going really great. We have a great group of girls and an amazing coaching staff. We've been lucky enough to take on some more coaches, and I think that's really helped kind of share the knowledge and really just keep on going with our success so far. It's been great, and I love these girls. They've done great things for us, and we really do just have a great connection with everybody.
Well, and you have a great connection with your teammates. You lead the team in assists right now with 6. You know, how does that come together, practice, developing that kind of connection with McKenna Jensen and with Olivia O'Hara and some of those other goal scorers?
Absolutely. I feel like these girls have got these great shots. We know there's that talent, and we know how to share the ball. I think when we know how to share the ball, we're able to create those beautiful plays, those beautiful assists into ball behind the net. I think it's great. Like, we really do work hard, and we work to kind of share the ball a little bit more rather than just try and go straight to goal. And we're a really selfless team, which is great.
Hey, Jim, I want to add on to that. The girls had a goal this season to try to have more assisted goals than unassisted goals. So that was something they decided as a team to really work well and share the ball so that we can all share the success.
Well, Alyssa, I'll ask you, how do you make that happen? How do you improve that particular stat, and what have you done to try to do that with this group of players?
You know, I try to have them be responsible for some goal setting and what they want to accomplish in the season, and I think it speaks a lot when they want to have their other teammates be successful as well, that having an assisted goal, both people get to celebrate in that rather than just one person going in, and we get to create opportunities for each other, and that helps build that trust and connection that carries us through the whole season.
It's our team's Team of the Week, brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. We also have a fellow captain, Ali Flores, with us this morning as well. And Ali, you had that win against Grand Junction recently. It was a one-goal victory for your squad, handing them their first loss in Mountain League play. And right now they sit atop the standings. I know you're hoping to chase down Grand Junction, but to kind of take us through what it was like to get that win against a big rival in a very close match.
It was crazy. We were all so excited. We left the half down by a lot, and we just wanted to come out and win the game. We wanted it more than them, and I think that just showed in how well we played the second half. We played as a team. The first half, we didn't really play like that, so I think it just shows that we were able to come together.
For you, Ali, how did you get into lacrosse, and why do you love the sport as much as you do?
I started playing last season. I haven't been playing for very long, but I fell in love with it. I transitioned from basketball, and the defense is pretty much the same, so it was easy to pick up. My sister started playing, and that's why I started playing. So, yeah.
Her sister goes to Grand Junction, too, yes. So a little rivalry.
So, it was a good win for me.
Yeah, so what was that like after that game with you and your sister? What was there a little, you know, hey, we got you this time, we're going to get you again? Or is she like, you know what, enjoy this because you're going to see us again and we're going to get you the next time? What was that conversation like, Nielly?
Yeah, it was a little bit weird at the house when we both got home, but she was a good sport about it. She thinks that she's going to win the next time, but that's not going to happen.
We're talking with Fruto Monument Girls lacrosse coach Alyssa Husky, also co-captains Kendall Ream and Nielly Flores. And Alyssa, I mentioned Grand Junction. Mike Campbell's got them playing really well right now. They're 5-1 in league, but that's a huge victory for your team a couple of matches ago to get that one against the Tigers and trying to push yourself back to the top of the Mountain League. You got some ground to make up, but there's still plenty of matches left in the season to make that happen.
Yeah, for sure. Mike and Nikki Pistono have done a really great job with that Grand Junction team taking it over this year after Maddie stepped down. So I'm excited, though, with how our team is performing and playing. That rivalry game is just builds another level of competitiveness in these girls. You know, we've got Durango tomorrow that we'll play. That'll be a league game. So, you know, we're just locking in and trying to put our best foot forward and finish the league strong.
All right. So I just want to make sure we're not getting max preps here. You do have Roaring Fork. You don't today.
We do have Roaring Fork today, and then we have Durango tomorrow.
Okay, very good. So a couple matches coming up with Fruto Monument and Roaring Fork, and then Durango in league tomorrow for the Fruto Monument girls. Before we let you go, I'll ask you. I'll start with you, Alyssa, coach of this team. You know your players really well. Who's the biggest cut-up? Who's the player that keeps everybody loose the most on this Fruto Monument roster?
The biggest what? I'm sorry.
The biggest caught up, the biggest one that makes a lot of jokes and keeps things loose. Who's that player for you that keeps things loose at practice and maybe in some of those van rides?
McKenna Jensen, for sure. She's pretty funny. We actually joke when she's on her game, scoring lots of goals, that she starts cooking. So the girls really have a lot of fun with her on the team. I would also say Abriel Bishop, our goalie, is pretty funny too.
So, Kendall, ask you, is there a player, a teammate, that has, like, a weird ritual, something they have to do before you play every game? Do you have that, or does one of your teammates, they have something they have to do, put on their left shoe first before they put on their right shoe, those kind of little ritual things? Is there anybody that you play with that does that, or do you do that?
Well, I know of one teammate that automatically pops into my head, Sarah Mathwig. Her and I have been playing lacrosse since we were in about fourth grade, and I don't think I've ever seen that girl play with her hair up in a ponytail, in a bun, or anything. She wears her hair just completely down, and I think that's what keeps her going. It's just her way of playing lacrosse, and I think it's so funny because you never really ever see that, not even with hardcore Denver teams or our high competitors. Sarah is just, that is her thing, and I think it's great.
So, Nielly, I'll ask you about your teammates. When you go on the van, or you're taking a van ride or whatever, is there any of your teammates that like to sing? Do they sing to some of the music in the van? Who has the best voice? Maybe who has the worst voice of the Fruto Monument girls lacrosse team?
We all sing a lot on the bus right now. We're singing Karma by JoJo Siwa. We sing funny songs. We like to have fun on the bus because they're usually long bus rides. So, yeah.
So nobody really stands out as a vocalist. You play fun music, you have a good time, and if somebody sucks at singing, it doesn't matter, right?
Probably Olivia O'Hara. She's always singing. Whether it's during practice or on the bus, she's always singing.
Well, ladies, appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good luck against Roaring Fork and Durango coming up. Fruto Monument 4-2 overall right now. 2-1 in the Mountain League. Alyssa Husky, Wildcats coach with us. Kendall Ream and Nielly Flores, both captains for the Fruto Monument girls lacrosse team with us today with our team's Team of the Week brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. Thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you, Jim. Go Cats.
All right. Take care. Go Cats. Fruto Monument girls lacrosse. Our team's Team of the Week, and I'm kind of thinking the way things are going for Grand Junction, maybe the Delta girls soccer team as well. They might be
in the running in the future,
Team's Team of the Week coming up very soon. Grand Junction lacrosse playing really well right now.